Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Part 1. The soft glow of the bedside lamp bathed Terence's room in a warm, comforting light. The familiar scent of fresh laundry clung to the blankets as Abby tucked them around her son, smoothing the edges and making sure he was snug. It was part of the nightly routine she and Gary had perfected over the years, a routine filled with love and quiet moments where the outside world felt a million miles away. "Good night, sweetie," Abby whispered, leaning down to kiss Terence on the forehead, his wide eyes filled with the innocent curiosity of an 8-year-old. Looked up at her.
Night, Mom,
he said, his voice soft and drowsy. Gary stood by the door watching the scene with a small smile. His hands were calloused and a little rough from the remodeling work he had been doing around the house, the result of months spent fixing up the old family home. Tools, 2x4s, and scraps of lumber littered the second floor, evidence of his ongoing efforts to make the place even better than it had been. As Abby straightened up, Gary stepped over to the bed, lowering himself onto the edge with a grunt. "All right, buddy. Time to get some sleep," he said, ruffling Terence's hair.
"Can I help you with the work tomorrow, Dad?"
Terence asked, his eyes lighting up with excitement. Gary chuckled softly. "Sure thing, kiddo. It's always good to have a helping hand. We can get started after breakfast. How's that sound?"
"Sounds good,"
Terence murmured, his eyelids fluttering, heavy with the pull of sleep. Gary leaned down and kissed his son on the forehead. "Love you, pal. Sleep tight."
"Love you too, Dad,"
Terence whispered, his voice growing softer as he hovered on the edge of sleep, though not quite there yet. Gary stood up, giving Abby a small smile. "He's almost out," he said quietly, trying not to disturb the peaceful moment. Together, they tiptoed toward the door, careful not to wake him fully. The house was quiet, the only sound the distant hum of the heater kicking on for the night. Outside, a gentle breeze stirred the branches, a normal, peaceful evening in the suburbs. Nothing out of place, nothing to fear.
"Sleep well, sweetie,"
Abby whispered one last time before they slipped out of the room, leaving the door slightly ajar. As they headed toward their own room down the hall, Gary rubbed the back of his neck, feeling the tightness in his muscles. "I've still got a few more boards to put up tomorrow," he said, half to himself. "Good thing Terence wants to help."
"He loves spending time with you," Abby replied, smiling. "Just make sure he doesn't get too close to the tools."
Gary laughed under his breath. "I'll keep an eye on him." They parted ways in the hallway, Gary heading for the bathroom to wash up while Abby went to their bedroom to settle in for the night. The house was still, filled with the quiet, comfortable sounds of home. Back in his room, Terence lay on the verge of sleep, the soft glow of his nightlight casting shadows across the ceiling. His thoughts drifted to the next day, imagining himself holding the hammer, working alongside his dad. He felt safe, surrounded by the walls his father was improving with care. It was a simple, good life, the kind every kid dreams of. But as his eyelids fluttered shut, a new sound intruded. At first it was faint, almost too soft to notice. Just a slight scraping noise, like the wind blowing a tree branch against the side of the house. Terence turned over, half asleep, convinced it was nothing more than that. The noise came again, a soft but steady scratching. This time, it was closer. He sat up, frowning as he listened. The sound was persistent, deliberate, as if something was trying to get in. Terence glanced at the window, his heart beginning to race. His room was on the second floor. There shouldn't be anything outside. The scratching continued, and now it was unmistakable, like claws dragging across glass. Terence's mouth went dry, a knot forming in his stomach. He pulled the blanket closer, his eyes locked on the thin curtains. The dim glow of the nightlight barely reached them, casting eerie shadows across the room. He didn't want to get out of bed. He didn't want to know what was making that sound. But he had to. With a shaky breath, Terence slid out from under the covers, his bare feet touching the cold floor. Slowly, carefully, he crept toward the window, every step measured, his heart thudding in his chest. The scratching grew louder the closer he got. Whatever it wasn't going away. Terence reached for the curtain, his hand trembling, as he pulled it aside just enough to peek through the crack. A face stared back at him, pressed against the glass, pale, with eyes that glowed faintly in the moonlight. Its lips were thin, curled into a twisted smile, revealing long, sharp teeth. The creature's hand, clawed and bony, was tapping against the window pane, trying to work the latch. Terence stumbled back, a gasp catching in his throat. He felt his legs go weak, his breath quickening as his mind raced. The creature was hovering outside the window, suspended in midair, its empty eyes locked onto him. The scratching stopped, and for a long, terrifying moment, the creature just stared, unblinking, through the glass. Then the window cracked. A jagged line shot through the glass, and Terence screamed as the security alarm blared throughout the house. The window shattered, and cold air rushed into the room. The creature reached through the broken glass, its long fingers searching for a way inside. Footsteps thundered down the hallway, and Gary burst through the door, Abby right behind him. The alarm was deafening, but it barely registered over the sound of his son's terrified screams. "Terence, what's happening?" Gary shouted, his eyes darting to the broken window. "I saw it," Terence cried, pointing at the shattered glass. "It was outside. It tried to get in." Gary rushed to the window, his heart racing. Outside, the night was still. No movement, no sign of anything out of the ordinary. The street was quiet, the yard untouched. Whatever had been there, it was gone now. "There's nothing here," Gary said, trying to sound calm, though his pulse raced. He looked back at his son. "It must have been a bird or something. Maybe it hit the window." "No, Dad, it wasn't a bird," Terence insisted, his voice shaky. "It had teeth. It was floating." Gary's face tightened. He exchanged a quick glance with Abby, who was kneeling by Terence, trying to calm him. "It's okay, sweetie. You're safe now," she said softly, though her own fear was starting to show. "We're here." "I'll board this up," Gary said, already heading for the door, his voice strained as he tried to convey a sense of control. "You stay with Terence. Take him to our room." Abby nodded, her eyes reflecting the worry she felt. "Be careful, Gary." Gary gave her a reassuring smile, though it didn't reach his eyes. "I will." Abby nodded and gently pulled Terence to his feet. "Come on, honey. You can sleep with us tonight." Terence glanced back at the window, his heart still racing. His mother led him out of the room, but the image of the creature's face, of those glowing eyes, was burned into his mind. Gary lingered in the room for a moment, staring out into the night. His pulse still pounded in his ears, the alarms ringing fading into the background. He had told his son it was nothing, but deep down, he couldn't shake the feeling that something had been there, something unnatural. The shattered glass crunched under his shoes as he approached the window, his eyes scanning the darkness outside. The night was still, almost unnervingly so. There was no movement, no sign of life beyond the glowing streetlights. But the memory of Terence's terrified description lingered in his mind, gnawing at him. He grabbed one of the boards he had left behind from the remodeling project and a hammer, his hands slightly unsteady as he worked to cover the window. The cold night air hit him like a slap in the face, sharp and biting. As he lifted the first board, ready to nail it into place, something caught his eye,
a flash of movement outside the window. At first, he thought it might have been a trick of the light, a stray branch swaying in the wind. But then he saw it again, a face staring back at him from the darkness, bathed in shadow and hovering just beyond the broken window. Gary's breath caught as the figure moved closer, its features slowly coming into focus. The pale skin, the glowing yellow eyes, and the long, protruding canines that glistened in the faint light. The creature's gaze locked onto Gary's, its eyes narrowing with a predatory intensity. The creature had returned.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Part 2. In the master bedroom, Abby was doing her best to keep Terence calm. The boy was still trembling, his eyes wide with fear as he clung to her. She stroked his hair, murmuring soothing words that she barely believed herself. "It's going to be okay, Terence. Daddy's just fixing the window. We're safe in here." But even as she said the words, Abby couldn't shake the feeling of dread that had settled in her chest. She hadn't heard anything from Gary since he'd gone to board up the window, and the silence was starting to gnaw at her.
"Mom, what if it comes back?"
Terence's voice was small and shaky, his fear palpable. Abby forced a smile, though it felt brittle on her lips.
"It won't, sweetie. Daddy's making sure of that."
Meanwhile, Gary's heart raced as he stared out of his son's bedroom window into the darkness, his breath catching in his throat. The creature with the glowing yellow eyes was there, just beyond the shattered window, its pale, gaunt face pressed close to the broken glass. But it wasn't alone. Beyond the creature, nearly a dozen others loomed in the shadows, their shapes indistinct, yet their movements deliberate and predatory. Their glowing eyes blinked in the darkness, each pair fixed hungrily on Gary, like wolves circling their prey. The creature closest to the window made the first move. Its clawed hand shot through the gap in the glass, gripping the frame as it began to pull itself through. The others stayed back, watching, waiting for their turn. Gary stumbled back, his pulse pounding in his ears, the creature's long, bony fingers wrapped around the frame, the sharp edges of the glass slicing into its skin as it clawed its way inside. Its face twisted into a sickening grin, its fangs gleaming in the moonlight. Behind it, the other creatures crept closer, their bodies swaying slightly as they waited for an opening. With trembling hands, Gary grabbed the hammer he'd been using to board up the window, his mind racing. He swung it wildly at the creature's hand, trying to force it back, but the thing didn't even flinch. It gripped the frame tighter, then lunged forward, grabbing Gary's wrist with a crushing grip.
"Abby!"
Gary's voice cracked with fear. The shout desperate and raw. From the master bedroom, Abby had just settled Terence under the covers when the piercing sound of Gary's scream shattered the quiet, sending a wave of terror coursing through her. She bolted up from the bed.
"Stay here, Terence," she commanded, her voice shaking. "Don't move."
Terence's gripped her arm tightly, his eyes pleading.
"Don't go, Mom, please."
"I'll be right back, I promise,"
Abby reassured him, gently prying his fingers from her arm.
"Stay in bed, okay?"
Abby sprinted down the hallway toward Terence's bedroom, her heart hammering in her chest. The sight that greeted her when she burst through the door was like something out of a nightmare. Gary was pinned against the wall by the window, his arm pulled through the gap by the creature, its claws digging into his skin. Blood trickled down Gary's arm as the jagged edges of the broken window bit into his flesh. The creature at the window was feeding, its mouth pressed against Gary's forearm, draining his blood with sickening efficiency. Its eyes, hollow and predatory, flicked toward Abby as she entered the room. Behind it, the other creatures began to stir, moving toward the window, drawn by the scent of blood. There were too many, almost a dozen of them, each as pale and grotesque as the first, their glowing eyes gleaming with anticipation. They clawed at the sides of the house, eager to follow the first inside.
"Gary!"
Abby screamed, rushing toward him, but Gary's eyes were wide and glassy, his face drained of color. His arm trembled as he tried to wrench it free from the creature's grip, but his strength was fading fast.
"I can't..."
Gary's words were cut off by a choked gasp as the creature bit down harder, the pain forcing his knees to buckle. His other hand swung weakly with the hammer, but it was no use. He was losing too much blood. Before Abby could reach him, another creature forced its way through the broken window, this one larger and more feral. Its claws latched onto Gary's other arm, and it sank its fangs into his flesh with a ravenous hunger. Blood poured from both wounds, spilling onto the floor as Gary's body went limp. Abby grabbed a hammer from Gary's hand, swinging it wildly at the creature closest to her. She managed to land a blow, knocking it back slightly, but it wasn't enough. The creatures were too many, and they were relentless. Gary's eyes fluttered shut as his body collapsed to the floor. His skin was ashen, almost gray. His body shriveled and drained of blood. Abby could only stare in horror, her hands trembling, as her husband, once so strong and full of life, was reduced to a hollow shell. She backed away, tears streaming down her face, but the creatures didn't care. Their glowing eyes turned toward her now, blood dripping from their mouths as they moved closer, stepping over Gary's lifeless form. Abby didn't think. She ran. Her feet pounded against the floor as she bolted from the room, the creatures chasing after her. Their soft, inhuman growls echoed down the hallway as they moved in unison, a pack of predators closing in on their next kill. She burst into the master bedroom, her breath coming in ragged gasps, her heart racing. Terence sat up in the bed, his face pale with fear.
"Mom, what's happening? Where's Dad?"
With no time to respond, she grabbed Terence by the arm, yanking him from the bed.
"We have to go, now,"
she cried, her voice shaking with panic. Terence barely had time to react, fear freezing his movements as his mother practically dragged him down the hallway toward the staircase. The creatures were close behind, their claws scraping along the floor, hungry for their next victim. They hit the stairs at a sprint, their footsteps echoing in the silent house as they flew down the steps, their hearts racing. Abby could hear the creatures just behind them, faster than she could have imagined, their breathing heavy, almost inhuman. She urged Terence forward, forcing him down the stairs faster than she thought possible. They reached the first floor, Abby's hand gripping Terence's as they darted across the hallway, past the living room, and toward the basement door. Once there, her fingers fumbled for the latch, her heart thundering as she heard the creatures descending the stairs behind them, their growls growing louder. Every second felt like an eternity as her shaking hand struggled to turn the knob. Behind her, she could hear the creatures drawing closer, their soft footsteps echoing through the house like the ticking of a countdown. With a final shove, she threw open the basement door and practically shoved Terence down the stairs ahead of her.
"Go, go, hurry,"
she urged, her voice a mixture of panic and desperation. Terence stumbled down the stairs, his small feet barely keeping up with the frantic pace his mother set. Abby was right behind him, pulling the door shut just as the first creature reached the top of the stairs. The creatures were just a breath behind her, their claws swiping at the air as she slammed the heavy door shut just in time. Quickly, Abby bolted the door, her body trembling as she heard the creatures slam into it on the other side. Their claws raked across the wood, their growls low and menacing as they scratched and thumped, testing the barrier. The basement was cold and dark, illuminated only by the faint light filtering through a small, high window. Abby's breath came in short, uneven gasps as she guided Terence to a corner behind the water heater, where they crouched together, trying to make themselves as small and as invisible as possible. Terence clung to his mother, his tiny body shaking with fear.
"Mom, what were those things? Where's Daddy?"
he whispered, his voice quivering. Abby's heart broke as she held him close, her mind racing to find the right words. Words that wouldn't send him spiraling into an even deeper terror.
"I don't know, baby, but we're going to stay here, and we're going to be quiet, okay? We have to stay quiet."
Above them, the sound of the creatures scratching at the basement door filled the silence, each scrape a reminder of the relentless horror waiting just beyond. Abby's mind raced with options, but every thought led to a dead end. There was no way out. She cursed herself for leaving her phone upstairs in the panic. She couldn't even call 911. What good would it do anyway, she thought. How could she possibly explain this? Minutes passed, though it felt like hours. The scratching at the door eventually stopped, but Abby didn't dare move. Terence was shaking, trying to be brave, but failing miserably.
"Mom, are they gone?"
Abby hesitated, listening intently. The house was eerily quiet, as if the creatures had vanished into the night. But she knew better than to trust that silence. Still, she couldn't stay here forever. She needed to know what was happening.
"I'm going to check, sweetie," she whispered,
her voice trembling despite her efforts to sound calm.
"I want you to stay here, okay? Stay behind the heater and don't come out until I tell you it's safe."
Terence's grip on her tightened.
"No, Mom, don't leave me."
Abby cupped his face in her hands, her eyes locking with his.
"I promise I'll be right back. I just need to make sure it's safe. You have to be strong for me, okay?"
Tears welled in Terence's eyes, but he nodded, swallowing his fear as best he could. Abby kissed his forehead and slowly stood up, her knees weak as she walked toward the basement stairs. Each step felt like she was walking into the jaws of some unseen predator, but she forced herself to keep moving. She reached the door, her hand trembling as she undid the deadbolt and grasped the knob. With a deep breath, she slowly turned it, opening the door just a crack. She peered through the gap, her heart pounding in her ears. The hallway was dark and empty, the house silent. Abby opened the door wider, listening for any sign of the creatures. There was nothing. No scratching, no breathing, no movement. Maybe, just maybe, they had left. Summoning every ounce of courage, Abby opened the door wider and slipped through, her eyes scanning the shadows for any sign of danger. She took a few tentative steps into the hallway, each step measured and cautious, her eyes straining for any sound, any indication that she wasn't alone. Then she heard it, a faint, almost imperceptible sound, like the rustling of fabric. It came from the direction of the kitchen, just around the corner. Abby froze, anxiety threatening to overwhelm her as she tried to decide what to do. Every instinct screamed at her to run back to the basement, to hide with Terence and hope the creatures would leave them alone. But she had to know what was happening. She had to be sure. She edged closer to the kitchen, every step slow and deliberate, her breath held in her lungs. As she reached the corner, she paused, her hand gripping the edge of the wall for support. Taking a deep breath, she peeked around the corner. What she saw nearly made her scream. There, crouched in the middle of the kitchen, were at least a dozen creatures. Their pale, emaciated bodies moved with unnatural grace as they sifted through the remnants of their grisly feast. Abby's eyes were immediately drawn to the figure lying on the floor. Gary, or what was left of him. His body was little more than a dried husk, his skin stretched tight over his bones, his face, frozen in a mask of pain and terror. The creatures had drained him completely, and now they seemed to be searching for something more, something to satisfy their insatiable hunger. As Abby watched, one of the creatures lifted its head, its glowing yellow eyes locking onto hers. For a split second, time seemed to stand still. Abby's breath caught in her throat as the creature's gaze pierced her soul, its mouth curling into a twisted grin. Then, with a horrifying realization, she knew they had seen her, and now they were coming for her. Abby turned and ran, her bare feet pounding against the hardwood floor as she sprinted back toward the basement. Behind her, she could hear the creatures moving, their footsteps almost silent but unmistakably fast. She reached the basement door, yanked it open, and stumbled down the stairs, her only thought to get back to Terence. But she wasn't fast enough. Before she could reach the bottom, the first creature was upon her, its claws sinking into her shoulder with an iron-like grip. Abby screamed, the sound echoing through the basement as the creature yanked her backward. She tried to fight, tried to pull away, but more of the creatures swarmed her, dragging her down.
"No, Terence, stay hidden," she screamed,
her voice breaking as the creatures tore into her. She felt their sharp teeth sink into her flesh, felt the sickening pull as they drained her blood. Her vision blurred, and the pain was overwhelming. But all she could think about was her son hiding behind the water heater, listening to her die. The creatures fed ravenously, their hunger insatiable as they drained the life from Abby's body. She felt her strength ebbing away, felt herself slipping into darkness. Her last thought was of Terence, in the hope that somehow he would survive this nightmare. A moment later, Abby was gone. Her lifeless, mummified corpse discarded, left, lying splayed upon the basement steps.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Part 3. The basement was deathly quiet, but the silence didn't bring comfort. It weighed on Terence like a heavy blanket, suffocating him as he sat huddled behind the water heater. His mother's scream had cut through the night, and then nothing. Terence's whole body trembled as he forced himself to move. He hadn't heard the creatures in hours, but that didn't mean they were gone. They could still be in the house, waiting. But he couldn't stay down here forever, not knowing what might be waiting for him upstairs. His legs felt weak as he crept toward the open door, the cold concrete floor chilling his bare feet. He reached the bottom of the basement steps and stared up. The door hung open. She would never have lifted open, not her. The fact that it was still wide open made the truth undeniable. Something terrible had happened. That single image filled him with a deep, hollow dread. She hadn't come back for him, and she never would. He swallowed hard and started to climb the stairs, each step slow and deliberate. The wood creaked beneath him, making him wince with every sound. His heart pounded in his chest, and his breaths came in shallow, nervous bursts. She had been right here, on these steps. He knew it. But now, his mother's body wasn't there. There was no sign of her, no blood, no trace of the struggle he had heard so clearly. She had been attacked here, he was certain of it, but now she had vanished. The absence of her remains filled him with an even deeper sense of terror. "Where is she?" he thought. "What did they do with her?" He hesitated at the top of the stairs, staring at the area where she should have been. The possibilities of what might have happened to her twisted his stomach into knots. Was she even still in the house? Where had they taken her, and why? Terence moved through the hallway in a daze, his eyes scanning the empty space. The house was trashed, furniture overturned, broken glass scattered across the floor. But it was silent. His mother was gone, and his father? He didn't even know what had happened to him. He had to get out. He had to find help. Shaking, Terence grabbed the landline phone off its cradle nearby and dialed the only number he could think of, Aunt Mary's. His fingers trembled as the phone rang, his heart beating out of his chest. "Please, let her answer," he prayed. The line clicked, and his aunt's voice came through, soft but steady. "Hello?" she inquired. "Aunt Mary," Terence began, his voice barely audible. I need help." By the time Aunt Mary arrived at the house, it was already mid-morning. The sun was shining brightly, casting long shadows over the yard. But for Terence, the house still felt as dark as ever. He couldn't bring himself to leave the front door, staring out into the driveway as a car pulled in. The air was crisp and clean, a stark contrast to the horror that still lingered in his mind. As soon as Aunt Mary stepped out of the car, she rushed up the steps, pulling the boy into a tight hug. "Terence," she whispered, her voice shaking, pulling him into a tight hug. "Are you okay? What happened? You sounded so scared on the phone." He opened his mouth to answer, but at first, no words came. How could he even begin to explain? Terence barely managed to find his voice. They're gone," he stammered, his eyes wide and unfocused. "Mom and Dad, they're just gone." Mary's face paled as she looked around the house. "What do you mean, gone? Where did they go?"
"I don't know," Terence said, his voice breaking. "The creatures, they took them."
His aunt stared at him, clearly struggling to process what he was saying. "Creatures?" she repeated, her tone uncertain. Before he could try to explain any further, the sound of approaching sirens pierced the air. Aunt Mary had called the police on her way over, and now two patrol cars pulled up behind hers. The officers stepped out, walking toward the house with cautious, purposeful steps. They exchanged glances, surveying the scene as they approached, but their faces were unreadable. "Ma'am," one of the officers said as he reached the porch, his tone professional. "We got your call. You mentioned your nephew was in a panic. Can you tell us what's going on?" Aunt Mary hesitated, glancing at Terence, unsure of what to say.
He called me early this morning saying something terrible had happened. He sounded terrified. I didn't know what to do except call you."
The officer nodded, then turned his attention to Terence, crouching down slightly to meet his eyes. "Hey there, buddy," he said, his voice gentle but probing. "Can you tell me what's going on? Did something happen last night?" Terence swallowed hard, his throat tight. He wanted to speak, to tell them about the creatures, about what they'd done to his parents, but it was as if the very words lodged in his throat. The truth felt too big, too terrifying to say aloud.
I don't know," he stammered. "They're gone."
The officer raised an eyebrow.
"Who's gone?"
"My mom and my dad," Terence whispered, his voice breaking. "They were here last night, but now they're gone. The creatures took them."
At that, both officers exchanged a brief, uncertain glare. Not disbelief exactly, but concern. They weren't sure what to make of it yet. The second officer stepped forward. "All right, we're going to take a look inside, okay? You stay here with your aunt and we'll see if we can figure out what's going on." Terence nodded numbly, watching as the officers entered the house. The door clicked shut behind them, leaving him standing on the porch with Aunt Mary. The air felt too quiet now, too still, as if the house itself was holding its breath. Terence and Aunt Mary stood on the porch as the officers conducted a walkthrough of the house. The front door hung slightly ajar, giving them a glimpse of the chaos within. Broken furniture, scattered belongings, clear signs that something violent had occurred. The wait felt like forever. Terence shifted from foot to foot, the cold morning air doing little to calm his nerves. Aunt Mary held him close, rubbing his back in soothing circles. But it wasn't enough. His mind was racing. What if the police didn't believe him? What if they thought he was lying? Finally, after what felt like hours, the officers emerged from the house. They had serious expressions, their faces hard to read. But Terence could tell they weren't dismissing this as just a child's fantasy. One of the officers stepped forward. "It's clear something happened here," he said, his tone calm but firm. "There's obvious evidence of a struggle. Overturned furniture, broken glass. We can't confirm exactly what happened yet, but there's no doubt foul play is involved." Terence swallowed hard, feeling a small flicker of hope. Maybe they would believe him after all. "We're going to need more details, though," the second officer said, crouching down to Terence's level. "You mentioned earlier that some creatures took your parents. Can you describe these people, or creatures, for us?" Terence hesitated, glancing at Aunt Mary before nodding. He felt a lump form in his throat as he thought back to the face he had seen at his window. The first moment he realized something terrible was about to happen. "It was pale," he began, his voice shaky but steady. "Really pale, almost white. Its eyes glowed yellow, and it had sharp teeth like fangs." The officers exchanged another glance, this time more uncertain. Aunt Mary tightened her grip on Terence's shoulder, a small show of support. The first officer jotted down notes, though his expression remained skeptical. "So you're saying these people, or whatever they were, broke in and took your parents?" "Yes," Terence whispered. "But it wasn't just them. There were more. I heard them. I saw them. A lot of them." The officers remained silent for a moment, clearly processing what they were hearing. One of them opened his mouth as if ready to speak, but Terence interrupted, his voice suddenly stronger. "The window," he said, pointing toward the second floor. "They broke the window from the outside." The officers frowned. "The window upstairs?" the first one asked. Terence nodded vigorously. "That's where I first saw one of them. It was scratching at the window, trying to get in. It broke the glass." The officers seemed doubtful, but shared another glance. Without a word, they went back inside, heading up the staircase. Terence watched them go, his heart hammering in his chest. He hadn't been sure if they'd listen, but now they were checking. Minutes passed. Terence held his breath, waiting. Aunt Mary stood beside him, her face pale, worry etched into her features. Finally, the officers returned. The first officer looked more serious now, his brow furrowed. "The window upstairs is broken," he confirmed, glancing at his partner. "From the outside, just like the boy said." "But there's no ledge," his partner replied. "What? How did..." "I know how it sounds," the first officer said. "I know." Terence let out a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding. They believed him. At least, they believed part of his story. The officers might not have bought into the idea of vampires or monsters, but this was something concrete, something they couldn't dismiss. The second officer turned back to Aunt Mary. "We're going to need to conduct a full forensics investigation. It's clear something happened here. And while we can't confirm what, we'll treat this as a possible break-in and abduction." "We'll also put our sketches based on your nephew's description of the person, creature he saw," the first officer added, his tone more measured now. "We'll handle this like any other missing persons case. In the meantime, we need to know.
Did Terence's parents have any enemies? Anyone who might have wanted to harm them? Mary shook her head quickly, her eyes wide.
No, of course not. They were the sweetest, most caring people. They didn't have enemies.
The officers nodded but kept their expressions neutral. We'll look into everything, ma'am. Right now, we'll have to start with what we have. We'll keep you updated as we learn more. After the officers finished their questioning and made their way back to their cars, the house fell silent once again. Terence watched them leave, feeling the weight of everything settled heavily on his shoulders. They were going to investigate, but it didn't feel like enough. He stood there, staring at the driveway, unsure of what to do next. His mind was still filled with images of the creatures, of his parents, of the broken window. Everything felt too overwhelming. Aunt Mary knelt down beside him, her face softening as she placed a gentle hand on his back.
"Hey," she whispered, her voice low and soothing. "I believe you."
Terence looked up at her, his eyes wide and full of doubt.
"You do?"
She nodded, rubbing his back in small, comforting circles.
"I don't understand everything that happened last night, but I know you saw something terrible. I'm here for you, okay? You're going to be all right."
Terence wanted to believe her, but the knot of fear in his chest wouldn't go away. The world felt different now, darker, more dangerous. But Aunt Mary's hand on his back, her soft voice, gave him a small sliver of comfort. He leaned into her, feeling her arms wrap around him.
"We'll figure this out together," she whispered. "You'll be safe with me. I love you." "I love you too, Aunt Mary," Terence said, burying his face in her chest as he desperately held back his tears.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Part 4. The ride to Aunt Mary's house was quiet. The morning sun filtered through the car windows, but it did nothing to ease the tension that hung in the air. Terence stared blankly out at the passing streets, his mind consumed by the events of the night before. Nothing felt real. His parents were gone, and the creatures that had taken them were still out there. Aunt Mary glanced at him from the driver's seat, her face tight with concern. She had said little since they left his house, not knowing what to say. As they pulled into her driveway, his Uncle Tom stood waiting by the door. Meanwhile, his younger cousin Kendra was with him, peeking out from behind his legs with wide, curious eyes.
"We're here," Aunt Mary said softly, turning to look at him. "Let's get you inside. We'll figure this out."
Terence followed her into the house, the warmth of their home a stark contrast to the icy fear that gripped him. Everything here felt normal, too normal, and it made him feel even more out of place. The comfort he should have felt was replaced by a deep sense of dread. Aunt Mary led him to the kitchen, where Tom was setting the table for breakfast. "How are you holding up, kiddo?" his uncle asked, giving Terence a quick but firm hug. Terence shrugged, unsure how to respond. His mind felt numb. Kendra sat down beside him, her eyes full of questions she didn't dare ask. They ate together in silence, the clinking of silverware the only sound breaking the tension. Afterward,
Aunt Mary suggested they spend the day together, trying to keep things as normal as possible. The day passed in a blur. Mary and Tom tried their best to distract him, taking him outside to play with Kendra in the yard, even though his heart wasn't in it, and later watching a movie together in the living room. But the horror of the previous night lurked in the back of his mind, refusing to leave. Dinner came, and they ate quietly around the table. Mary and Tom kept glancing at each other, silently communicating their concern, while Kendra tried to act like everything was normal. But Terence could feel it. Something was wrong. No matter how hard they tried, they couldn't shake the weight hanging over them. After dinner, Aunt Mary suggested they all get some rest. She led Terence and Kendra to her daughter's room. "You'll be sleeping with Kendra tonight. We thought it'd be nice for you not to be alone," she said gently, trying to sound reassuring. "You're safe here, Terence. We'll all look out for you." Kendra nodded shyly, offering him a small smile, but Terence couldn't bring himself to smile back.
"We can stay up and talk if you want," she said.
But Terence wasn't in the mood for talking. The warmth of the house felt suffocating, as if it was no longer meant for him. That night, Terence lay in bed wide awake. His mind was a storm of fear and unease, replaying the horrors of the previous night over and over again. Kendra had fallen asleep quickly, her soft breaths the only sound in the room. But for Terence, sleep seemed impossible. Every creak, every faint rustle made his heart race. He pulled the blanket tighter around him, his eyes darting toward the window. He tried to convince himself that nothing would happen tonight, that the nightmare was behind him. But the darkness outside felt different, thicker, heavier, as if something was waiting just beyond the glass. The house felt like it was holding its breath. The minutes stretched on, each one crawling by, the silence unbearable. Terence's body tensed with every tiny sound, his own breathing, the distant hum of the refrigerator, the faint tick of the clock on the wall. But beneath it all, there was something else, something just out of reach. He didn't want to move, didn't want to turn his head toward the window, but the feeling gnawed at him, that sense of being watched, of something lurking just out of sight. And then he heard it, a faint scratching at the window. His breath caught in his throat. The sound was subtle at first, almost like tree branches brushing against the glass. But it grew louder, more deliberate, the sound of claws dragging across the surface. A chill ran down Terence's spine. He wanted to ignore it, to tell himself it was nothing, but the scratching continued, steady and insistent. Slowly, Terence turned his head toward the window. His heart pounded in his chest, his pulse roaring in his ears. The darkness outside pressed against the glass, thick and impenetrable. But there, just beyond the window, he saw them. Glowing yellow eyes staring back at him. "No," Terence said under his breath, his voice catching. "No, no, no, no." The pale, gaunt face of the creature hovered just beyond the glass, its eyes locked on him with a hunger that made his skin crawl. Terence's blood ran cold. It was the same face, the same creature that had come to his window the night before. They had found him. His body froze. He wanted to scream, to wake Kendra, but fear had him pinned to the bed. He could only watch as the creature's claws scraped against the glass, the faint screeching sound cutting through the stillness of the room. The window creaked, a tiny crack forming at the edge. Terence's breath came in shallow gasps. He pulled the blanket up over his head and curled into the fetal position, hoping the thin sheet of fabric would somehow conceal him. His heart hammered in his chest, each beat echoing in his ears. He pressed his eyes shut, willing the creatures to go away. But the sound of the window breaking made him flinch. A soft crack, followed by a louder one as the glass gave way. Taryn stayed hidden under the blanket, trembling. He could hear the faint crunch of broken glass as the creatures stepped into the room. The air grew colder, the oppressive silence replaced by the low, guttural sounds of the creatures breathing. Kendra stirred in her bed, her soft murmur breaking the quiet. But before she could fully wake, the creatures moved toward her. The sound of her blankets rustling, followed by her confused gasp, filled the room. Terence bit down on his lip, trying to stop himself from crying out. He couldn't move. He couldn't help her. Kendra's gasp turned into a strangled cry as the creatures descended on her. Her small, panicked voice pierced the air, but it was quickly cut off by the sound of the creatures feeding. Terence squeezed his eyes shut, the horror of the moment clawing at him. The wet, sickening sounds of their fangs sinking into her flesh made his stomach churn. He could hear everything. The muffled gasps, the desperate attempts to scream, the sound of blood being drained. And yet he did nothing. He couldn't move. He couldn't fight. All he could do was lie there, frozen in terror, as the nightmare unfolded just a few feet away. Kendra's cries faded into silence. The room fell still again, the smell of blood thick in the air. Terence lay motionless under the blanket, his heart pounding so hard he thought it might burst. His whole body trembled as he listened to the creatures move around the room. They weren't done. He could feel them getting closer, the sound of their footsteps, the soft rustle of their movements as they approached his bed. His breath caught in his throat, and his body went rigid with fear. And then, the blanket was ripped away. Terence's eyes snapped open, and there they were, pale, monstrous faces staring down at him. But these weren't strangers. It was his parents. Their eyes, once full of warmth, now glowed with the same cold, predatory hunger as the other creatures. They weren't his mother and father anymore. They had become a part of the horde. His mother leaned down first, her sharp teeth sinking into his neck. The pain shot through him, a burning, tearing sensation that made him gasp. It was as though a fire had been ignited beneath his skin, searing him from the inside. He tried to pull away, but his body refused to respond. The pain was paralyzing, and a wave of dizziness washed over him as his vision started to blur. His father followed, grasping his arm tightly, his eyes now devoid of any emotion. The cold grip of his father's hands was like a vice, squeezing the last of the warmth from his body as his teeth punctured Terence's skin. The sensation was sickening, a deep, hollow feeling as what remained of his blood was siphoned from him. The hunger in their eyes, the same hunger that had devoured the people they used to be, was overwhelming. Terence felt himself slipping, his body growing weaker with each passing moment. His vision darkened, the edges of the room fading into shadows. He could no longer feel the bed beneath him. His mother's face was the last thing he saw clearly, her once soft eyes now empty, reflecting nothing but the savage need that controlled her. He wanted to scream, to fight, to call out to her, to remind her of who she had been. But his voice was gone. He no longer had the strength. As his body went limp, the room seemed to collapse into darkness. The sounds of feeding faded into the distance, replaced by the eerie stillness of the house. Everything around him blurred and dissolved into shadows. His heart pounded faintly in his chest, each beat slower than the last. His father's grip tightened, and the last of his blood drained away, leaving him empty. The cold seeped into his bones, numbing him to the core. Steadily, Terence's vision faded to black. The last thing he saw before the darkness took him was the cold, vacant eyes of the creatures that had once been his parents. Then, there was nothing. When Terence awoke, everything felt wrong. His body was cold, stiff, and foreign. His limbs ached, and the room around him was shrouded in dim light. He blinked, his eyes heavy, and saw Kendra's body beside him, pale and lifeless. Her once vibrant face was drained of all color, her eyes open but unseeing, staring blankly at the ceiling. There was no blood left in her. The scene should have filled him with horror, but instead, there was only one feeling. Hunger. It gnawed at him, deep and primal, an overwhelming need that pulsed through his veins. He pushed himself up slowly, struggling to adjust to the unfamiliar sensation coursing through his body. His limbs felt awkward and rigid, like they didn't belong to him anymore. His muscles throbbed in agony, but the hunger pushed him forward, stronger than the pain. The transformation had reshaped him, twisted his body into something less human. He could feel it in his bones, in the way his movements felt foreign and unnatural. His skin, once warm, was now cold to the touch, and his mind was clouded with a single, all-consuming instinct: to feed. He staggered to his feet, his legs unsteady as he tried to make sense of the world around him. The room was still, deathly quiet, and the scent of blood hung heavy in the air. His senses were sharper now, the darkness more vibrant, more alive. He could feel everything, the weight of the air, the movement of the shadows, but none of it mattered. His parents stood by the window waiting, their eyes glowed with the same hunger that now burned inside him. They said nothing, but they didn't need to. Terence understood. He was one of them now. Without hesitation, he joined them. He moved toward the broken window, his body responding to the hunger that pulled him forward. He leaped through the shattered glass with ease, landing softly on the ground below. His movements were fast, fluid, unlike anything he had ever experienced before. His parents were already ahead, leading the way. The hunger drove him forward, guiding him to the next house, the next family, their next meal.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.